but her eyes were clear and knowing. She was more human than any ape, and yet she was not human. And it was that degree of closeness, yet difference, which disturbed him. She was, unmistakably, Neanderthal.
"She's beautiful," Bobby said.
"Yes," David breathed. "This is going to send the paleontologists back to the drawing board."
He smiled, relishing the idea. And he wondered suddenly how many watchers from his own far future would be studying him and his brother, even now, as they became the first humans to confront their own deep ancestors. He supposed he could never begin to imagine their forms, the tools they used, their thoughts, even as this Neanderthal grandmother could surely never have envisaged this lab, his half-invisible brother, the gleaming gadgets here. And beyond those watchers, still further into the future, there must be others watching them in turn. And on, off into the still more unimaginable future, as long as humanity, or those who followed humans, persisted. It was a chilling, crushing thought. All of it, supposing the wormwood spared anybody at all.
"Oh,"
Bobby whispered. He sounded disappointed.
"What is it?" "It's not your fault. I knew the risk."
There was a rustle of cloth, a blurred shadow. David turned. Bobby had gone. But here was Hiram, storming into the lab, clattering doors and yelling,
"I got them! Bugger me! I got them!"
He slapped David on the back.
"That DNA trace worked like a charm. Manzoni and Mary, the pair of them."
He raised his head.
"You hear me, Bobby? I know you're here. I got them. And if you want to see either of them again, you have to come to me. You got that?"
David stared into the deep eyes of his lost ancestor, a member of a different species, 5,000 generations removed from himself, and cleared down the soft screen. 27. Family History. When she was forcibly restored to open human society, Kate was relieved to find she'd been cleared of the criminal conviction brought against her. But she was stunned to find she was taken away from Mary, her friends, and immediately incarcerated by Hiram Patterson. The door to the suite opened, as it did twice a day. There stood her guard, a woman, tall, willowy, dressed in a sober, business-like trouser suit. She was even beautiful, but with a deadness of expression in her dark eyes that Kate found chilling. Her name, Kate had learned, was May Wilson. Wilson pushed a small trolley through the door, hauled out yesterday's, cast a fast, professional glance around the room, then shut the door, and that was that, over without a word. Kate had been sitting on the room's sole piece of furniture, a bed. Now she got up and crossed to the trolley, pulled back its white paper cover. There was cold meat, salad, bread, fruit, and drinks, a flask of coffee, bottled water, orange juice. On a lower deck there was laundry, fresh underwear, jumpsuits, sheets for Kate's bed, the usual stuff. Kate had long exhausted the possibilities of the twice-daily trolley. The paper plates and plastic cutlery were useless for anything but their primary purpose, and nearly useless for that. Even the wheels of the trolley were of soft plastic. She went back to her bed and sat desultorily munching on a peach. The rest of the room was just as unpromising. The walls were seamless, coated with a clear plastic she couldn't dig her nails through. There wasn't even a light fitting. The gray glow that flooded the room, 24 hours a day, came from fluorescence behind ceiling panels, sealed off behind plastic and, anyhow, out of her reach. The bed was a plastic box seamlessly attached to the floor. She had tried ripping the sheets, but the fabric was too tough. And anyhow, she wasn't yet ready to visualize herself garroting anybody, even Wilson. The plumbing, a john and a shower fixture, was likewise of no value to her greater purpose. The toilet was chemical, and it seemed to lead to a sealed tank, so she couldn't even smuggle out a message in her bodily waste, even supposing she could figure out how. But despite all that, she had come close to escape, once, It was enjoyable to replay her near triumph in her mind.